And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to another week of the 9 till noon show. It is just turning 4 minutes past nine on this Monday, the 10th of March, 2025, just 1 week out from St. Patrick's Day. How was your weekend? I hope it was nice. The weather was fantastic yesterday. It was like a little summer, wasn't it? It was like a taster menu of what summer might bring us. Lots of people about, and it's great. Those that can get out into the fresh air and the sunshine just as soon as the weather complies. I hope you did have a good weekend. But obviously, there's always things too that can pop up for other people as well. And we're open to help you sort those out or highlight them or whatever it might be. The lines are open for whatever you want to talk about, whether you had a fantastic weekend or, as I say, there's something you might need a little bit of assistance with. We want to hear it all. 086 60 25000, that is the WhatsApp and text, 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 074 91 25000. Now, I suppose, really, it's a little bit of a snap cash draw that we have running this week, because on Friday, we're giving away €1,000 every hour for 9 hours, €9,000. And tickets are just a tenner, so you'd be familiar with that. And you can buy your tickets right now on our website, highlandradio.com. Click and buy a ticket, or if you don't do online, you can give us a call here, 074 91 25000. We'll process a ticket. It's all part of our 35 years on air here at Highland Radio, our birthday celebration. So low price ticket, big prizes, 9,000 in total. You'd have 9 chances to win. Now, that's all great, isn't it? Fantastic. Why not buy a ticket? Well, the extra element to this is that we are also raising funds for 3 fantastic Donegal charities. Huey's Corner, we heard from the people behind Huey's Corner last week. They are a charity that offers guidance and counselling to young people, those under 18 who've been bereaved or are going through a very stressful time. They do fantastic work, and they are funded solely by generous donations. Donegal Cancer Flights and Services, they're another fantastic county based in the west, covering the whole county. What they do is when someone gets a diagnosis from cancer or with cancer, and you know, we are told that we have to get our treatment in Dublin or Galway, and some people just simply can't undertake the road journey. Well, that fantastic charity assists people and has assisted hundreds of people over the years as well. We're raising money for that fantastic charity to help them continue to the great work they do. And the Blue Stack Special Needs Foundation is changing the lives of young people every single day. It's hundreds of young people engage in developing themselves, becoming the best version of themselves, getting into the workforce, people with special needs being able to, you know, get good gainful employment as adults. So those are the 3 charities. So if it wasn't enough for you to win €1,000 and there's 9 opportunities next Friday, you will also be supporting, after the prize money, those 3 great charities. Now, I'll tell you, at the moment, we're incredibly generous people in Donegal and we love a competition, right? But this is a relatively low number competition. So get your tickets right now and you'll be in 9 draws. You buy a ticket today, you're in 9 draws on Friday. You can just sit back and see if you're lucky. But also what you're doing is that €10 is supporting, you know, €3.33 to the Donegal Cancer Flights, €3.33 to the Blue Stack Special Needs Foundation, €3.33 to Huey's Corner. So what a great way to start a Monday if you can afford it yourself. And I am conscious that people can be struggling too. So go on to our website, highlandradio.com, buy your tickets there. Or if you don't do that, give us a call here at the radio station. We'll sort you out, 074 91 25000. But get it done this morning and then you can just sit back and listen on Friday and see if you win. Because on Friday, we've got a lovely day of programming. Lee Gooch obviously has his breakfast show. Then we're coming on and we've got so many live acts for you as a thank you to for your generosity, if you know what I mean. It's an open day and you can call up and say hello to us. There'll be tea and what have you. And we've got some brilliant live bands throughout this show. John Bresson's the same. David James has some great guests lined up. And Ivan Borland has got some of the best young bands in Donegal playing on his show as well. And that's all part of our 35th birthday celebration. So we've got some great special guests as well. So it's going to be a fun day. So you can enjoy it and not worry about it. Get your ticket now. Buy as many as you like, as many as you can afford, and support those 3 great charities. You can get it out of the way now, and that's you sorted for the week. So 07491 25,000 if you can't do it online, but it's perfectly safe and secure online, highlandradio.com. As I say, not rattling the begging bowl, but I am to an extent for those three great charities. If you can buy a ticket, please do. And as I say, there's a nice little incentive of cash prizes for you as well. All right, so let's have a look at the papers. We don't have all the papers today. Sometimes they're disrupted because of deliveries and breakdowns and what have you. But we do have the Derry People Donegal News. The HSE has agreed to enter a 2.68 million deal with an English company to extend the rental period of a purpose-built mobile endoscopy unit at Letterkenny University Hospital, the paper can reveal. An endoscopy is a procedure used in medicine to look inside the body and is used by healthcare providers like the HSE to screen, diagnose and treat conditions. According to documentation associated with the contract, the demand for endoscopy services at Letterkenny University Hospital has not only remained high, but has increased significantly over the last 3 years. So we are renting it, are we? Is that the I'm not saying it's a bad story, by the way, but why are we renting such an important piece of equipment? Surely it would be not more advantageous to own something like that. But anyway, 2.68 million deal to extend the rental of that machine. And you know what? If it's helping the people of our region, I'm not too pushed, as long as we're spending the money the right way. The Derry News this morning, the row over the Western Health and Social Care Trust's implementation of major domiciliary care changes in Derry's city side shows no sign of subsiding. Service users were informed about the changes, which came into effect this morning, in a letter from the Trust's Director of Community and Older People Services. Now, we don't have the highest uptake of private health insurance in this county compared to elsewhere for a number of reasons, but I just don't want any of you missing potentially missing out on money or spending money that maybe you don't have. So I want to read this story from the Irish Independent. Customers have been warned to avoid getting caught out by health insurance companies imposing much larger rises in the cost of their cover than expected. This is because the number of health plans are going up in price by multiples of the hikes announced by health insurance companies. Added to this, the impact of a string of price rises in the last year means that some policyholders are facing rises of up to 800 euro a year per adult when they renew. I mean, that's a massive, that's the increase on top of the premium. And it's for a service that many people have in case they get sick. I'm sure people go through their whole life with private health insurance, never draw down on it, but find themselves in hospital next door to a public patient. Right. Well, this is the reason it's going up by 800 a year per adult for some is because some plans have now risen cumulatively in cost by 24%. On the past year, health insurance expert Dermot Good said announcements of average price rises by providers often mask much higher increases in some plans. So, okay, make sure you are not at the high end of those price rises, just to double check that. Fantastic picture of Sarah Healy on the front of the Irish Times this morning. She is holding the tricolour and celebrating a fantastic victory, which we'll talk about a little later on, because our own Mark English did amazing. And in fact, he might feel he could have won gold himself, but he picked up bronze. I'll talk about that in a moment. The front of the Irish Times, Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald has signalled she's willing to go before the Dáil and address the arrest of her party TD Thomas Gold over an alleged €150,000 fraud at a former employer. Mr. Gold, who emphatically denied any wrongdoing over the weekend, will not be removed from his position as a junior spokesperson on housing and urban renewal, Sinn Féin said, and will have no change to his roles or responsibilities or participation in the Dáil. Following a report in the Irish Times on Saturday, Mr. Gold confirmed he had been arrested by appointment the previous day and was released without charge. Mr. Gould believed he would be vindicated following the investigation, which will now run its course. Also an interesting story on the front of the Irish Times. Children now are less ready to start primary school with higher rates of separation anxiety and less emotional regulation among pupils compared to before the COVID-19 pandemic. Academics at Mary Immaculate College in Limerick surveyed more than 100 junior infant teachers in classes with 2,000 pupils in December 24 who reported increases in behavioural problems, anxiety and more children unable to manage personal care. More than 80% of teachers said There were more pupils with emotional or behavioural issues, while most agreed the classroom behaviour was worse and that fewer children could sit and pay attention or take turns, which is kind of interesting, especially considering we have such a well-used and vibrant sort of preschool setup. I wonder what's going on there. Is it to do with the pandemic, post-pandemic? Is it to do with us parenting? Maybe it happens that some children are being sent very young to school. My eldest, Lee, probably sent him to school too young, probably should have kept him back for another year. Just because, you know, when it depends on when you're born, whether you're born at the start of the year or the end of the year and you're late in your fours or just turned five. I'm not sure if that plays a factor, but I know many parents be thinking, what's the right thing to do in that situation? Teachers' descriptions of their junior infants' classes capture the extent to which they believe the classroom has changed since the pandemic. Children are far less independent coming to school than before the pandemic, said one. But what I can't figure out in that, and maybe it's in the article, I might read it later, is what happened in the pandemic that may in any way have affected a child that was only born at that time going into school. I don't know. I think sometimes these studies are... You know, we have to look at ourselves as parents as well and stuff, because what a child that was born during the pandemic, what happened in that situation that could in any way make them more anxious less independent in, you know, national school? Surely it's down to us. And what changed with us? I don't know. I can't figure that one out, to be honest with you. Normally I can waffle something. And finally, in sport, Sarah Healy, as I mentioned, struck gold in the European indoors yesterday after Mark English claimed bronze in the Apple Dawn, and Kate O'Connor also made the podium in Holland. I watched much of this over the weekend when I got a chance, actually. It was a great competition. The Dynamic Trio's podium finishes are the first for Ireland in the Championships since 2019, after veteran English showed all his experience to claim third place in the men's 800-meter final at the Dutch venue. 24-year-old Healy won the women's 3,000 metres final in style before O'Connor's 800-metre win secured her third in the pentathlon. The informed Healy saw off the challenge of Britain's Melissa Courtney Bryant and Portugal's Salom Afonso to win in 8:52.86. English, who turns 32 in the coming days. Imagine being a veteran at 32, as described in the paper. Wouldn't mind being a veteran. English, who turns 32 in the coming days, just held on for the medal in a dramatic finish after he was fifth at the bell. It's his third medal in the European indoors, having won silver in 2015 and bronze 4 years later. I mean, he's incredibly impressive, Mark English, as they all are. But these are, you know, they're clearly, you know, professional in their attitude, but they've got other things going on in their lives. I think it's really quite remarkable. All right, that was a run through some of the stories making the papers today. As I say, we have limited availability of papers this morning. Business as usual, of course, tomorrow morning. But let's take a break, and our first guest joins us very shortly. As we covered on the show last week, there are real concerns over the future extent of fire cover in Letterkenny and indeed Buncrana. You would know that firefighters were campaigning for better terms, and the majority of the public agreed with them. It seems off the back of that, new rosters are being put in place, which effectively means that we are seeing a reduction in cover in Letterkenny and surrounds, and also in Ashone. Philip O'Donnell joins us now. Philip, good morning to you. Thanks for your time.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
Good. Save Letterkenny's second fire engine. Stop the stripping of resources from the town and the reduction in crews members. This is a petition that's up and running now.
Petition's up and running. I didn't get the programme on Friday, but I've spoken with the firefighters. Some of the firefighters based in Letterkenny, and I have read the press release that they've put out, and you know, this really cannot be allowed to happen. It's one of those resources in Letterkenny that is badly needed. It's one of them resources that hopefully we don't need to use, but unfortunately things happen. And you know, There's a whole load of different issues here. One, is there a strategic plan put in place? Are we going to depend on cover from other stations outside the area of the town? How will they get into the town with the traffic situation? And you know, the fact that, that this has been imposed on the firemen because of a rostering issue, it's a de facto, I suppose, way of pitting a reduction.
This is something, an issue that's very important to you and your family, and I think that's why your voice is incredibly important in this conversation, Philip.
Absolutely. Look, 39 years ago, we had a house fire, which I lost two brothers and two sisters and a close family friend. And that, on that morning, you know, the fire crews in Letterkenny done every single thing that was possible to do on that morning. But the biggest problem they had was Letterkenny had no water. You know, and the ironic thing today, the reservoir for Letterkenny is in Ardonagh. You know, 40 years ago, my mother and a lot more like her were campaigning to get the water problem in Letterkenny sorted. And it fell on deaf ears. You know,
so here we are, decades later, after the awful tragedy that you talk of, Philip. Here we are, decades later, and we thought we would advanced, wouldn't we? So, you know, obviously the brave efforts to tackle the blaze that cost you so much were hindered by, you know, poor resources. We don't, do we, in 2025, want to find ourselves in a situation by choice? And it would be by choice, because someone has to make a decision, by choice, where, God forbid, the response would not be as full as it could be without these reductions. I mean, that's unimaginable. And I think you make a really good point, too, about cover outside Letterkenny and access to Letterkenny with the traffic issues that we've seen. It's one thing, a Garda car driving up the footpath on the four lanes. It would be another matter, a big fire engine.
Absolutely. Well, Greg, you know, a fire, the first fire tender arriving on the site has water cover for about 3.5 or 4 minutes till they get the hoses out, connect them up to the hydrants and connect them up to the appliance. If they go to that hydrant and there's no water there or nothing comes out of the hydrant but sludge, They're in a sticky situation. The fire tender that they're talking about moving or taking away from Letterkenny has 10,000 litres. That will only give them another 10 or 15 minutes. That also means that if there's low water pressure or whatever, it stabilises. It is an essential piece of kit. And I'm a bit of a geek when it comes. I always had a fascination from when I was a young child about fire engines and fire
and how they work and support
and
each other,
you know,
and
all that. Yeah, you know. Yeah. But this is equipment that we shouldn't be talking about town trading. Letterkenny is under-resourced, full stop, right, long before this reduction. And it's not that they can't get the staff.
You have a sup of your tea there, and I'll come back to you in a second. Karen McCafferty Seagrave joins us. And these are really interesting voices, those that have, you know, relied on the fire service in the past. Karen, good morning to you. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, Greg.
You had a house fire in December 2023, I remember, Karen. And I suppose through that experience, you've become very interested in and have a great interest in supporting the fire service.
Well, I do indeed, Greg. From my perspective, anyway, I think it should be upgraded rather than downgraded, to be 100% honest with you. It's horrific. And as I said to the lady there a while ago, when you're standing 10 minutes, and I mean, the fire station was just round the corner from my home. And when you're standing 10 minutes watching your house go up in flames, and knowing the fire station so close, those 10 minutes, and any aspect of your life, it's nothing. But when you're standing watching that, 10 minutes is a long, long time. And if you have to wait longer than that there, and I know how I felt, watching my house in flames and waiting those 10 minutes. And as that gentleman just says there about the fire hydrant, the fire hydrant was directly at my gate, and because it was clogged up, the firemen, God bless them, they did their very, very best. They couldn't get water out of it, for it was blocked, and it took them another 10 minutes to source the water to put my fire out. So that was 20 minutes gone. And, you know, those firefighters, they are putting their lives at risk for us. And as I said, they've obstacles in their way. And if there was four fire engines came to our house fire, and they came from other stations. Now, don't ask me what other stations they come from or at the stage, for I can't remember. But they fought their hardest to put that fire out. And as I said originally, 10 minutes. If they have to come from a different fire station, that's 20 minutes. And then if they get complications when they arrive, that's another 10 minutes. That's a half an hour.
Yeah, and that also that then, you know, I mean, you don't need to know the ins and outs of it, but that's cover that the first unit from Letterkenny, as it arrives on the scene, it's also having to wait the 10 minutes for second unit that would be able. And of course, in your situation, Karen, you were able to get out. You know, sometimes, and unfortunately, chatting to Philip there, he knows all about it. In those early stages, it's not always about saving the property. The first thing is who's in there? How do we get in? How do we get them out safely? How do we have the cover with the water and what have you to facilitate that? You know, a real potential life and death situation.
Yeah, exactly. And my heart goes out to that gentleman, as I said. And if you remember, Greg, my cat was there, and I know how I felt with maybe losing my cat. You know, so if it was a human being, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's vital. Fire stations are vital in any town.
There was a lot of conversation on, I think, council motions and all that manner of thing about sort of the state of the hydrant network in this county off the back of your fire, Karen. I do wonder if we've improved at all, because surely that was an event where lessons needed to be learnt. But for you now, where are you at now? How are you getting over it? I think you've had to move out of Letterkenny, Karen. You're facing huge costs in terms of house insurance and what have you. You know, whilst it happened in December 2023, it's turned your life upside down and certainly hitting you in the pocket.
Oh, it definitely turned our lives upside down. We have to reinvent ourselves, for the want of a better way of putting it. We were part of a community. I bought that house in 2004, 19 years ago. And I mean, I see I've been struggling all to keep that house for 19 years. It was mine, you know, and then it was just whipped from under my feet. From myself and my husband's feet and end up. You know, and our lives have just turned upside down, and we had to do the best for us and moving forward. But it's sad. It's sad that we left. We had a life behind us. Not by choice, by situation.
Okay.
So it was. But,
all right, Karen, and I'm sure the fire service really appreciate your support, and I know you're urging, as you have, those who care to sign this petition. Thank you very much indeed. And we're speaking in the context of changes to the service. They were informed that cuts included the removal of the second fire engine, a substantial reduction in crew numbers, and the loss of the vital water tanker and instant command vehicle in Letterkenny. Now, obviously, you know, I have to stay on the fence in most matters, right? But Letterkenny is a town where its population has exploded. It's looking for city status. It's getting bigger all of the time. And access in and out of it actually has never been as poor as it is right now. So it seems remarkable timing for a move like this. I'm still in the company of Philip O'Donnell. I'll get back to Philip, but I want to say good morning now to Edward Moore, station officer at Letterkenny Fire Station. Good morning, Edward.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me on here.
No, thank you. And we've heard from Philip and Karen, who have been there in the most tragic circumstances in Philip's case, and watched on as your guys tried their best, you know, to save life and property. How can we find ourselves in a situation in this day and age, after everything I said about Letterkenny and its expansion and what have you, that we're seeing these type of cuts?
I suppose, firstly, Greg, what you're saying there is a very it's a very good point. You know, the town is expanding. You know, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, it's not a time to be, first of all, taking resources away from our emergency services. You know, if anything, we should be trying to improve it and make it better. But I suppose, look, this all has come off the back of the industrial action that the fire service took for better better working conditions back in the summer of 2023. And in September 2023, we came to an agreement nationally, and that was where we were going to get a roster system. The problem with that agreement was it didn't specify anything for two pump stations, okay? So at that point, in September 2023, Letterkenny had enough crew members. If needed to be, we could have implemented a single a roster system for a single pump station. At that time, we didn't want to do that. Management said that we couldn't do that because there needed to be a risk assessment done and a business case done to make sure that Letterkenny keeps their two pumps essentially. All right. So that's going back to 2023, and here we are now, 18 months later. The risk assessment hasn't been done. The business case hasn't been done, but management now have turned around and said, you're a single pump station, implement your roster, and that's it, essentially. They won't give us any formal commitment to do an area risk categorisation, so we've asked them to formally commit to do a risk assessment, which they have come back and said, no, we don't have to formally commit to it because the WRC agreement doesn't mention anything about a two-pump station.
Right, but I mean, obviously, Edward, this was a real opportunity, I think, to enhance the fire service. So you had people that were there when they needed to be there, but they weren't overstretched, they weren't leaving, they weren't having to take part-time work and all this kind of stuff. This was an opportunity for reform, I think a lot of the public would have thought. So we have proper rosters in place. That's the way it should be, most people felt. Now, obviously, that might mean to retain the level of service that we have, that people are employed. You know, and there's people being employed all of the time to improve and enhance services. But that didn't happen. It's like we're having to stick with the same numbers. And the cost of the services, the cost of the services is the fact that, you know, we have less cover. It doesn't make much sense. It feels like a missed opportunity.
Absolutely, Greg. I couldn't agree more. You know, as you're saying, now's the time to go and look for more and improve and make things better, rather than the complete opposite, which is downgrading Letterkenny Fire Station. And Greg, I want to mention this. I think this is a very important thing to mention. We're not just talking about Letterkenny Town here. Letterkenny Fire Station covers a vast area. We go up into Kilmacrenan, up into Termon. We're almost as far as the log cabin there before Creasla. We cover into Glenveagh, Newton Cunningham, Manor Cunningham, Churchill, Graham's Gully. I mean, we have a massive fire ground, as what we would call it, you know. And you know, as Karen was talking about there, you know, response times. You imagine the response times in Letterkenny can be slow. You know, if you're talking 10 minutes, that feels slow. You imagine if you're out in Churchill, how slow that is. So if you imagine the likes of Churchill now, we'll have to wait even twice as long as that for a second fire engine.
Philip O'Donnell mentioned to us, to say, for instance, God forbid there were a fire in Letterkenny, how concerned would you be at support coming out of Letterkenny and getting into Letterkenny to support the responding first unit, the only unit now in Letterkenny, effectively? Because all we ever hear about is time being of the essence.
Yeah, and you're right, time is of the essence. So as Philip was talking about there, you know, we have a quantity of water in our fire engine. But if we use that at full tilt, I suppose, for lack of better words, Greg, you are chatting, we will be out of water in minutes unless we can get fire hydrants. And that's something that actually happened to Karen. I was actually there in Karen's house. We got there and we had to use a smaller diameter hose because we were worried about the amount of water we had. The hydrants didn't work. But thankfully, in Karen's case, we actually had the water tanker available to us in Letterkenny Fire Station. So we were able to get up to Karen's house and supplement us with straight away 8,000 litres of water while we got a fire hydrant. And we actually did get a fire hydrant fairly quickly up there as well. I mean, the area where Karen lives, there's quite a lot of hydrants, and we were lucky in that respect as well. And I mean, you know, even though the water tanker, it was a vehicle that was bought for the county, was what to service the entire county, you know, so that's 15 other fairgrounds, you know. But the tanker was mobilised more by Letterkenny Fire Station in the 2 years that we've had that water tanker than the rest of the county combined. That's how much Letterkenny relies on that water tanker, Greg, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a fatal piece of equipment.
Remarkable line in there that responding to a fire like you did in Karen's case, having to use a smaller hose to reduce the flow so that you could better manage the water you have in this day and age. Again, I'm sorry to keep saying in this day and age. It's just that, you know, people are talking about flying to the moon and going to Mars, and we're trying to get access to fight fires. Do you know what I mean? Stay there, because I think it's very important, those that are getting involved in this conversation. Philip O'Donnell, who's in studio with me, and I will be going back to Philip in a moment. But we also heard from Karen, who... whose life was turned upside down, but it could have been much worse if it wasn't for the fantastic response of the fire service. And Hugh Harper as well joins me. Hugh, good morning to you. Thanks so much for your time, Hugh.
No problem, Greg.
And
no
listeners problem. Will be aware that Hugh lost his beautiful daughter, Leona, in the Chrysler tragedy. And I think that brings home the importance of our emergency services, Hugh. And you're flabbergasted by this news.
I heard the news breaking there on Friday. Whispers saying that the resources in the Kenny Fire Brigade were going to be cut and staff numbers reduced. And immediately our attention is drawn back to the days in Chrysler. Of our experience of the professionalism of the guys, but also the equipment that they had there that day. A phone call I'd made on the way into Letterkenny to try to get access into the hospital was to the guards to say that, you know, any chance you guys can give me a guard escort. And this comes to mind a lot. The answer was to me that every available car is in Chrysler and every available appliance is in Chrysler, which leaves the rest of the town dramatically at risk of any, you know, God forbid, if a car accident were to happen or, as we've heard, house fires happening. To have these services reduced instead of expanded, it doesn't make sense, especially, Greg, as you pointed out, the way the town's going at the minute. We see more schools being built, extension to hospitals there just below Los Angeles. To think on these services being reduced, it just doesn't make sense.
All right, Hugh. Thank you so much, Hugh Harper, fully supporting that campaign. Edward, I'm trying to figure out the structure here. We talk about management, okay? Who is the management? Who makes these decisions? Because people believe that maybe the council are in charge of the fire service because they certainly allocate funding and what have you. But in terms of the management structure, I'm not looking for individuals' names, but who signs off on a decision like this? Is it national? Is it local? Or what?
No. So this would be local. It is, and you're right. The fire service is part of the county council, so it is Donegal County Council, essentially, which is at the top of that pyramid, and then it filters down to the chief fire officers, down to our senior fire officers, and then down to like myself, and then it's the fire crew. Then so it is essentially Greg, and that's essentially the structure of the fire service all the way up. But it is the council at the top of that peak, so it is a council function essentially, you know.
So effectively, it is, and to simplify it, the council would need to find or seek additional funding to maintain. It's not actually to increase the service; it's actually to maintain the service. But that would be the role of the council, and they would have had sight of this since the since we knew these new rosters were being implemented.
Yeah, which is sort of the point I was making earlier on, which is back in 2023, essentially, Greg. You know, and I mean, we were told that this was happening, and it hasn't happened, Greg. And that's 18 months ago, and there's still no sign of it happening. And I mean, this is something that we've asked for before we implemented our roster, was a formal commitment to doing this risk categorization to see if maybe I'm wrong, maybe we're all wrong here, Greg. Maybe Letterkenny doesn't need a single or a two pump station status, you know. But I mean, the document that says that it was or does need to be two pumps was the KCS document, which is called Keeping Community Safe document, which implemented in 2013. And I don't know about you, Greg, but Letterkenny has grown fastly since 2013. I don't know what your opinion is on that, but it's grown fastly since 2013 and it's continuing to grow. So how can we now be deemed to be single pump, be deemed to be okay now to serve Letterkenny, where we've grown ever since? You know, unless the parameters have changed in deciding what level of fire cover is needed. I'm all out of ideas, to be honest with you, Greg.
You know, and just to put this into some context, and I hope it's into some context, you know, there's been an awful lot of conversation about fire cover service in Bundoran and Ballyshannon for decades, and that is seems to be back on the table again now. And a lot of politicians, local and Dáil level, getting involved in that conversation about the difference between Bundoran and Ballyshannon and where might or might not be the right place to do it. And this is in a place, generally speaking, would have nothing like the traffic that is in Letterkenny, for an example, or an awful lot of the challenges, you know, operating, you know, two units in Letterkenny might face. And as I say, this is in no way to diminish their argument, but it's remarkable that that's been going on for decades. And now here we have in the biggest town of the county talking about a system that most people not involved in the fire service even might feel doesn't make much sense at all. And I want to bring Philip O'Donnell back in again, who was good enough to call up. And just to remind listeners that back in 1986, he very tragically lost four siblings and their babysitter in a house fire. Thankfully, Philip, Patrick and Joe managed to escape. But we've heard from Philip, we've heard from Hugh, and we've heard from others as well about the importance of and the support for the local fire service. Philip, anything to add just as we wrap things up? Stay there, Edward, because I want to give you the last word, if you don't mind. Philip, anything, haven't heard from Hugh and Catherine and others, what's your...
Well, I suppose, you know, we're talking about a ruling that was made in 2023 and we're sitting in 2025. And the funding, we don't know whether they have, the fire service have reached out to the council for the funding, but to be 18 months on, we do know that they have... it's not a recruitment issue because there is a panel there of about 10 people, I'm told. You know, we still don't have, you know, I spoke to somebody at the weekend that had applied to be a firefighter. She's a lady or a woman, and she was turned down because she's not fit to carry a certain amount of weight for across the distance. You know, there doesn't seem to be any urgency within the fire service to sort out this problem. They need more staff in Letterkenny. They have always needed more staff in Letterkenny. And you know, we don't have a trained person in Letterkenny on a chainsaw. You know, after the last storm, you know, we all know what happened there. You know, there seems to be a total mismanagement within the fire service within the county at the minute, and that needs to be rectified and that needs to change.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've had great tragedy visit us in this county over the years, and we just don't want to be ruining decisions now, God forbid, in the event of a future tragedy, which is probable, let's face it. Edward, anything you want to say in conclusion here? You know, obviously, there is always a battle for the public mind, and there might be some that are saying, well, this is down to the firefighters. That's the kind of job that they wanted, and we've had to make these decisions, and resources are tight. So, you know, if you want to blame anyone for a one pump station in Letterkenny, it's the firefighters. I wouldn't get involved in any of that because I don't think it's beneficial whatsoever. But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's going to happen, but you just want those. And I think too, you know, a bit of leadership from politicians on this issue as well, Edward, if they agree to come out and say they do. A caller says, and I'm not sure how they know, but maybe they are in the know, all fire hydrants in Letterkenny have been checked since that incident. A lot of them needed cleaning and cleared. So hopefully that work's been done, and that is good news if it has. Another caller says, I think it's ridiculous to cut down an emergency service. I've witnessed firsthand a house burned down. Lives are often at risk. You lose everything. Time is of the essence, and this service should not be reduced, they say. There are many houses not on the mains, so no fire hydrant nearby in the areas mentioned by the fire officer. And I suppose that makes it all the more important, doesn't it, that they have a second unit or access to a water tanker in those instances. The water tanker and the second fire engine no longer available, according to the information we are being given. Hi, I want to send my support to the firemen from Donna Harper. They did an amazing job in Creasla on the 7th of October 2022. Please pass on our support. And since that came in, we did get an opportunity to speak to Hugh Harper just to have that information related there. Now, a caller says, my son was out at the weekend in Derry and got his drink spiked. He had four bottles of beer, so didn't have a lot to drink. He suffered severe chest pain and wasn't feeling well. He left the group and stood outside, thinking the fresh air would do him good, but in fact it made him worse. This is a problem. This is probably the wrong thing to do, as whoever spiked him could have taken him off to wherever they wanted. It was a frightening experience for him. Someone's going to lose their lives if this is not brought under control. And with the likes of drink spiking, you know, how often does it lead to a loss of life and we don't really find out because the investigation doesn't pick it up? I hope your son's okay. Very discombobulating to be out of control like that, especially when you haven't drank much, and not a very nice experience for him at all. And it is drink spiking something that does spike, actually, in terms of cases, it seems. Hi, Greg. I want to report a case of really dangerous driving this weekend because I didn't want to make a proper statement. They referred me onto an online call centre, which I couldn't contact, didn't even want to know where it occurred or the number of the car. I'm really disappointed with the system. I expected better. So this is important bit of information in there. They wanted to report dangerous driving to the Gardaí. They didn't want to make a statement. And I mean, that kind of does tie the hands of the guards to some extent, because if you have a statement and you probably would have to follow that through, it does make it much more actionable. I'm not sure about the call centre that they sent you to. Maybe it was the tip line, the Garda confidential line, I don't know. If there's any further information in that to add to that story, let us know. My son-in-law took my grandson for a walk in Swan Park. There is a pond with frogs born. A rat came and jumped in the pond and swallowed a rat hole. A rat came and jumped in the pond and swallowed a rat hole? Or is it a frog hole? Would a rat eat another rat? But anyway, then another 20 rats... I'm going to get sick. Then another 20 rats came and jumped out of a hole. My grandson was petrified. We've had a lot of calls about rats in Swan Park. I don't know what's going on there. I mean... It is perhaps a habitat for rats, you know, and it is then, I suppose, close to an urban area. It might be a difficult circle to square. You can't poison them because obviously there's lots of people, there's other wildlife there, and there's people walking around with dogs and what have you, but definitely getting a lot of reports of rodent infestation or rodent issues in the Swan Park. That story is particularly nasty. Let us know if you've experienced that. I want to be constructive in our coverage of that because Swan Park's a fantastic resource and I do understand there are complications in dealing with an infestation like that, but maybe by speaking about it publicly, someone with a bit of knowledge might be able to. Maybe otters or something need to be put into the water, I don't know. Maybe Greg might ask the question, why can't Micheál Martin return to Ireland as he's meeting Donald Trump on the 12th of March? Micheál travelled to every EU meeting at a drop of a hat, but can't make it back to Ireland. Healy Ray left to run the country. How many days is the recess, as they casually call it? I'm not quite sure how long that recess is. There's two trains of thought, at least in relation to this. All the ministers and the Taoiseach and Tánaiste are heading out to the likes of the United States and elsewhere to speak to Irish living there, to talk up the country, to try and impress on the new leadership in the United States that our relationship is a very valuable one to the States, and our trading deficit is not quite as bad as it might seem. And people say, right, that's what we need to do. There are other people that believe them sitting in their houses at home and not spending that money will materially be better. It's hard to know. Different views. A listener says, it's absolutely ridiculous. Bus Éireann have done away with the X30 bus completely. This leaves us in Donegal town with only one option, namely the 30 Express to Dublin Airport and City Centre. The timetable says it takes 4 hours. In reality, it always takes longer. It's backward this country is going. Don't know the ins and outs of that. Are you an X30 user? Maybe you can explain a little bit more, and thanks to our listener, explain a little bit more as to how that might discommode Donegal people, please. And last one before the break for the news. I recently got a letter to say there are no longer public health nurse services in Letterkenny for children in relation to development checks at 12 months. Has anyone else been notified of this? I want to come back to this, that one actually, because there was a national story about developmental health checks for our young children and I couldn't get a local angle on it, but it seems maybe there is a local angle on it. So I'll come back to that. If you heard enough from that, you can get in touch with us and give me more information. Please do 086 60 25000, WhatsApps and texts, or call 07491 25000.